Today's daf is Tzadi Hei. No, my mistake. Today's daf is Tzadi Dalid. And we'll begin on the second line, Vahada Rav. We had quoted a halach in the name of Rav in the case of a kosel that's between two chatzeros and it fell on Shabbos. And Rav said that in such a case, Ein mitaltelin bo ela arba amos. And the Gemara says, La beferish itmar el michlole itmar. He never said it explicitly, but we derived it we inferred it from a case that happened. De Rav Shmuel v'yosef bahu chatzer. Rav and Shmuel were sitting in a chatzer on Shabbos, and Nafal Guda de Beni Beni. And the Kosel, Beni Beni, between the two Chatzeros that were proximate one to the other, fell. And they didn't have an Erev between the two Chatzeros because there was a Kosel there going into Shabbos. Omeluhu Shmuel said, Shkolu Glime Negiduba. Pick up a talis and covered over the area where there was a kosel. And by instructing his students to carry a talis, he indicated that they could still rely on the Erev that they had established on Erev Shabbos, even though now that the kosel is down, they really need a different Erev. The original Erev of yesterday was not valid, because now, if there's no kosel separating the two chatzeros, they need a joint Erev between the two chatzeros. Adrinu Rav li ape. Rav, as an expression of indignation and opposition, he turned his face the other way. And that was his way of demonstrating that he did not agree with that psak, with that decision of Shmuel, that Shmuel was allowing tiltel in the chotzer, when now we need an Erev and there's no Erev. Amalei Shmuel, Shmuel tos Talmidim, Ikapid Abba, Abba was the name that they used to call Rav. Some say that was Rav's name. If Rav is Makbid, then Shkolu Hemne Vikitruba, take his belt and tie it down to this talis of the mechitza, as if to say Rav will have no choice. He's going to have to carry from this mechitza, or where was what used to be a mechitza, and he's going to have to carry it. This was a kind of way of almost facetiously communicating to Rav that the Erev, even though it's not up, it's still considered valid, and that you could still rely on the Erev that was set up on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ulishmuel Lomaliha, why did Shmuel feel compelled to set up Ki'ilu a talis as a mechitza? After all, according to Shmuel, the Erev of yesterday, of Erev Shabbos, is a valid Erev. It's still binding. There's no need to set up a mechitza. As we saw yesterday, Shmuel holds each side of the kosel, meaning each chatzar, both sides of the chatzar, is still on Shabbos, even after the kosel falls, permitted to carry up to the mechitza, exactly as they were allowed to do until the kosel fell. Zemetaltel al ikar mechitza. So since there was a heter here of tiltel, there's no need for the talis to be set up as a quasi-replacement mechitza. And the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood. Shmuel, Ovid, Litzniyus, V'Alma. Shmuel didn't mean that they should take the talis and set it up as a mechitza. There was no need for a mechitza. But rather, Shmuel wanted to set up a talis for Tzniyus purposes, so that there wouldn't be what we call Hezek Ria, that one chatzah wouldn't see into the other chatzah. So now the Gemara clarifies Ravshi to Isvir v'Ravisu relate the Asir Lomali. Why did Rav turn his face the other way? Why didn't he just express the fact that he disagrees? And he dissents against Shmuel's opinion to rely on this Erev. Now the coastal is down. They need a joint Erev between the two Chatzeros. And the Gemara answers, Asri de Shmuel Hava. Shmuel was the Rav. He was the final posek in that area, the Morad HaAsra. And Rav felt that it would be improper for him to express a dissenting view against the Morad HaAsra in his locale, amongst his Talmidim. So why did he turn his face the other way? I mean, after all, that itself reveals his dissent and his objection against Shmuel's ruling. The Gemara says, the lo neima ki Shmuel svirale. It was important for him that the spectators would not come to the mistaken conclusion that if Rav was totally silent, then it means he concedes to Shmuel's position and maybe rescinded his original position. The word is going to get back to his locale, that he changed his mind. So he had to do something to express and convey the message that he disagreed with Shmuel, that now the coastal is gone, the Erev of yesterday is no longer valid. They need a new Erev, which they cannot establish on Shabbos. And he couldn't explicitly disagree with Shmuel by making a statement, because be Asra de Shmuel, in the locale of Shmuel, that would be improper. This leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Chotzeh shenifritza l'rshusa rabin. We're going to have a machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim recorded in this Mishnah about a chotzer that had a mechitza that separated it from rshusa rabin, but now nifritza, the mechitza was breached. And Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is mentioned first. Hamachnis mitocha l'rshus hayochin, l'rshus hayoch l'tocha chayov. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that once the chatzer is nifritza, meaning that the mechitza that separated this chatzer from the rishus harabim was completely breached, completely broke down, and now the rishus harabim and the Hiluch HaRabim walks straight through this area where the Mechitza once stood as a barrier, no longer exists. Now, the Chatzer is, so to speak, absorbed into the general greater Rishus HaRabim, has the status of Rishus HaRabim, such that if now somebody is standing in a Rishus HaYochin and he throws into the Chatzer, or somebody takes from the Chatzer out into a Rishus HaYochin, in such a case, he's going to be chayv achatas. He's violated melechas hotzah d'oraisa, because the full-fledged status of this chatzer is now that of a rishus harabim. It's absorbed by the rishus harabim. The rishus harabim now expands and extends into the chatzer once there's no mechitza that separates the rabim from that chatzer. B'chachom omrim, mitoch rishus harabim l'tocha potur. The word potur here means potur aval osur. As soon as you see any case of a hotzah, which is called patur, which means that by implication it's also the caramelis, you know it's a caramelis. So the Rabbanon say that although the chatzer is no longer a rishus hayachid, that's for sure, the mechitza that sets it apart from the rishus harabim is gone, but nevertheless it's not absorbed into rishus harabim. It is neither rishus harabim nor rishus hayachid. And the Chachamim established that since it has close proximity to Rishus HaRabim and the Rabim go in there, therefore it has the status of a Karmelis. So, for example, if somebody would be standing in Rishus HaYochin and he threw something into this Chatzar, according to the Chachamim, he would have violated an Issa D'Rabbanan of Karmelis, but certainly not an Issa D'Oraisa of Hotzah, because the Chatzar does not have the status as a Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, how do we understand Rabbi Eliezer? Mishum de nifritza rishus harabim, havilei rishus harabim. The principle that we've always accepted with regard to the definition of rishus harabim is that it's not enough that the rishus harabim is very wide. It may have tet zayin amo in width. It may be traveled by 600,000 Jews in a day. those are conditions, but we have an additional condition. It's got to be defined as an area that's designated for the Rabbim. They have rights to use it. That's called a Mesila Shel Rabbim. And a Derech or a Mesila Shel Rabbim is considered Rishus HaRabbim. But here, despite the fact that the Mechitza has fallen, Nifritza, it doesn't mean that therefore the Baal HaChotzer, we'll call him Reuven, no longer owns his Chotzer. It's certainly his private property. This is not a Mesila Shel Rabbim. This is not a highway. You know, normally a classic Rishus HaRabbim is you have a city and you go into the city down one, we'll call it a boulevard, and you exit all the way on the other side of the city from this same boulevard. That's called Mefulash. It goes from one side to the other. So such a highway, if it's wide and there are many people who travel on it, is Rishus HaRabbim. But that's because the highway is owned and possessed by the Rabbim. The public owns that area. But here in the case of a chatzah that's privately owned, you cannot say that just because Nifritza and the kosel that separates the highway from the chatzah is gone, therefore the chatzah itself becomes Rishus HaRabbim. And now there's a Mesila Shel Rabbim. The Rabbim have rights and ownership over the chatzah. They now make a kinyan, they possess the chatzah. Why? Because Nifritza, because the kosel fell down? How do we understand Rabbi Eliezer? And the Gemara says that in order to understand Rabbi Eliezer, we have to, number one, quote a brisa, and number two, a statement of the Amoraim explaining that price. So we're going to need A plus B in order to get a handle on Rabbi Eliezer's sheet. A is the brisa in Rabbi Eliezer l'tameh. Rabbi Eliezer is going in the consistent way of his sheet. This sign, we have a brisa that says Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Rabim Sheberu Derech Li'atzman Ma Sheberu Beru. There's a certain power to the people, to the public. The public can actually choose for themselves a derech, a highway. And again, until we see the Gemara interpreting this brisa, but just on a literal translation of the brisa, it seems that the Rabbanon recognize the rights of the public, of the Rabbim, to completely undermine a personal, private possession of a yachid and abscond and possess that area. They can be mevarer. They can decide which is their derech. There are laws, by the way, even in Lahavdil, in Western culture, that allow the public to decide in certain cases where they'll set up their bridges, their highways, and so forth and so on. Again, they have to compensate the owner, perhaps, because he had private ownership. But there are, as we said before, power to the public. And that's what Rabbi Eliezer Shita is reflecting, that principle. And that's called Rabbim Shabiru Derech Liatzman Mashabiru Beru. And now once the Nifritz, or once the kosel that separates that chatzah from the Rishus HaRabbim has fallen, is gone, it no longer exists, now the Rabbim can be Mavar, they can establish a Derech Liatzman, it becomes a Mesila Shel Rabbim. And they have possession rights as the Rabbim, a power to the Rabbim. And therefore it's Rishus HaRabbim. That's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. Again, the Chachamim never bought into this. The Chachamim of our Mishnah disagree. They hold that the Rabbim do not have the legal rights to possess and to establish a derech in the private property of someone else, whether it be a Sodder or a Chotzer. And therefore, it cannot be a Rishus HaRabbim. The Gemara says, Eini, but can you really interpret Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa literally? That's not the way you should interpret Rabbi Eliezer. We have a statement of Amoraim that reflects on this brisa as the transmission of Rabbi Eliezer was accepted, and that is Amarav Gidol Amarav. Who? When did Rabbi Eliezer say that the Ravim have the power to be Mavar and establish a Derech Liatzman? That's only Sha'avda Lahem Derech Biosa Sada. What happens is a person has ownership over a field. The Rabbim have a highway that splits, that goes right down the middle of the field. And this was all recognized, you know, it's registered in the Riyadh, the municipality. Kedasu Kedin. But what happened was, over the course of time, that highway was lost. Perhaps they didn't use it for a certain period of time, weather conditions changed, or perhaps there was a growth of vegetation that covered the area. They can no longer identify where the original Derech HaRabim was. That's called Avla Lahem Derech B'Yosef Sod. And Rabbi Eliezer says the following, that since with regard to this Sod, the Rabim already had established their possession rights to a Derech, they have a Derech that they own, albeit we don't know where that Derech is, we cannot locate it, but nevertheless, they have rights now to set up a Derech in that Sod. And they'll choose exactly where that derech is. And if the Baal HaSodah will yell and scream, well, that's not where the original derech is. It doesn't matter. We don't care. We don't have to identify the original derech. And that's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. The Rabbim already had rights in the Sodah for a derech. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is a case of Nifritzah. There's no mention in our Mishnah that at some point in time the Rabbim had a derech in his chatzah that cut down through his chatzah. So how do we justify Rabbi Eliezer, who identifies the case of Nifritzah as a Rishus HaRabbim? V'chit Heim, the Gemara says, perhaps you'll suggest Hachinami, maybe our Mishnah itself likewise is talking about Kigon, a case of Avdalem Derech B'Yosef Chatzah. The Rabbim once had possession over a derech in that chatzer, and that derech is lost. We cannot identify exactly where it is. And now the Rabbim have the power to establish a derech through that chatzer to replace the original derech that they owned. This seems to be a pretty reasonable way of interpreting our Mishnah. Again, we have to add a little bit of an ukimta in our Mishnah, that the Rabbim actually once owned a derech, but the Gemara says we cannot accept that interpretation of our Mishnah. Why? V'omar Rabbi Chanina ad mokom achitza machlokes. The issue and the dispute between Chachomi Rabbi Eliezer, as far as this area of the chatzer, is only up to the makom hamachitza. What it means is that we don't know if that area of the machitza should be defined as a Rishus HaRabim or as a Carmelis, and it's only ad makom hamachitza. So what that means is that ad v'lo ad b'chlal, meaning as far as the Mokom HaMachitza itself is concerned, the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Eliezer that it's considered Rishus HaRabim. That's where the Rabim are, right near the Machitza, where the Machitza used to be. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the Chatzah itself is considered a Rishus HaRabim, the entirety of the Chatzah. And that doesn't make any sense. Even if I tell you there was a Derech, and the Rabim had rights to such a Derech way back in the past, and it got lost, they can perhaps reestablish a derech right there in the Mokom HaMachitza. Maybe that I could grant you. But how did Rabbi Eliezer and our Mishnah go a step further and say that the entire Chatzah becomes a Rishus HaRabim? Even if they lost a derech is a certain area within a wider area, within a Chatzah, but it doesn't mean that they can now establish their possession over the entire Chatzah. So how do we reconcile this statement of Rabbi Chanina, that Rabbi Chanina says that ad moko machitza machlokes, in other words, the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is as far as the area of the machitza up, the area of the chatzar up until the where the machitza used to be, but the Chachamim never disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer about the moko machitza itself. That for sure is a Rishus HaRabim, which means that according to Rabbi Chanina, the machlokas begins beyond the Mokom HaMachitza. Meaning, if I'm walking from Rishus HaRabim, first I hit the Mokom HaMachitza, the Alta Machitza, Olav HaShalom. And then, and at that point, there's no machlokas between Rabbi Lez and Chachamim, that point where the Mechitza once stood, that area, is certainly now designated for the Rabbim. The Machlokas is going beyond that area. Imagine if you had the Mechitza and then you entered in through the entrance to the Mechitza into the Chatzer. That's where there's a Plukta between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanu. If that be the case, then Rabbi Eliezer is saying something that's almost unacceptable, namely that the entire Chatzer is now converted into a Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because the Mechitza was Nifritza? So the Gemara says, you know what? We don't have the proper version of this comment of Rabbi Chanina. When Rabbi Chanina explained the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, it's not ad mako machitza machlokas, but ema al mako machitza machlokas. As far as the Chatzur is concerned, for sure, there's no machlokas. And even Rabbi Eliezer would certainly agree that you don't define the Chatzur itself from beginning to the end, the entire area of the Chatzur, as a Rishus HaRabim. That's impossible. How could the Rabim steal the Chatzur that belongs to Reuven? But the Machlokas is about the Al Makom Mechitza, on the Makom Mechitza. At that particular location where the Mechitza once stood, the Rabbana now want to establish that area where the Mechitza stood as part of the Rishus HaRabim. They want to swallow it up into the Rishus HaRabim and use it as a byway. And here we have Machlokas. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds Rabim Shabiru Derech Liatzma Ma Shabiru Biru. They can establish a Derech. Again, we're not talking about absconding and establishing ownership over the entire Chatzah. That's ridiculous. But the Mokam HaMachitza, now the Rabim were Mevarim Lehem Mokam and a Derech Liatzman, and Rabbi Eliezer wants to recognize their rights to do so. They once had such rights. And the Chacham rejected. They never recognized and validated the rights of the Rabim to establish a Derech. Eboy Seymour, now the Gemara suggests a slightly different version, or shall we say, explanation of the Machlok Shrin Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Kamifliki. Tzidei Rishus HaRabim means that you have the boulevard of the Rabim, and then on the sides, near where the private houses or the stores, the vendors are, they set up what's called chifufe. Chifufe means various kinds of yesedos, of kind of poles in the ground, you know, columns in the ground, to separate the Rabim and be marching them from the facades of their homes. They don't want the Rabim to go in there with their wagons and their animals. It might, it might upset and damage their buildings and so forth and so on. But technically, it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. In fact, if there's a heavy flow of traffic, then the Rabim will actually go into these Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. And Rabbi Eliezer Sover, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, Domu, for Rabbanim Savri, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Lav Rishus HaRabim, Domu. This is an old machlokes in Masechta Shabbos. We're back to Masechta Shabbos again. What's the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? And by the way, it's also negated above Metzia, certain kinyonim that you can make only in a private area like a simto, but not in Rishus HaRabim. So what's the status of these Tzidei Rishus HaRabim that on occasion the Rabim go in there because of the heavy traffic and there's no room to get by? There, Rabbi Eliezer says, we can recognize and define the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as Rishus HaRabim, because the Rabim sometimes use it there, and it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's an extension of the highway and the boulevard, and the Rabbanim reject it. Rishus HaRabim has to be something that's noach l'tashmishtei. It has to be something that usually, you know, you have no problem. There's no chifufe that separate you, and you have to squeeze your way through the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So Gemara immediately asks the obvious naive question, v'liflog b'tzidei Rishus HaRabim v'alma, why does the Mishnah here in Erevin present a machlokas about chatzah shenifritza? Why not just present the machlokas as a machlokas about tzidei rishus harabim? So more answers, e afligu b'tzidei rishus harabim b'alma, if the Mishnah had only recorded the machlokas about tzidei rishus harabim, hava, I mean, I would have thought, Why did the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Eliezer? Ki pligi Rabbanan alei Rabbi Eliezer. That's hani mili hechadiki chifufe. The Rabbanan say that it's not comfortable for the Rabbim to go into that area off the side because of the chifufe, the asados or the stones or whatever they put there in order to separate the Rabbim from that area. Aval hechad leka chifufe, like for example in the case of Chotzeh Shenifritzah, there are no chifufe, and the Rabbanan have very comfortable a direct access to this area. Emu module, we would think that the Rabbanan should concede to Rabbi Eliezer that the Makom HaKosel is certainly defined as a Rishus Rabbim, called Mashmalon. That's what our Mishnah wants to tell us, that even in the absence of Chifufe, nevertheless the Chacham have an absolute rule that they're committed to, that Sidi Rishus Rabbim are not classified as Rishus Rabbim. Their din, their status is that of a Carmelitess. So now the Gemara raises an objection to both interpretations of the Machlokes Chin Rabbi Eliezer Chacham, because what we clarify now is that there was never a Machlokes Chin Rabbi Eliezer Chacham about the Chatzar itself. The Chatzar itself is private property, it's owned by Reuven, it cannot be defined as a Rishus Rab. The only Machlokes was about the Mokom HaMachitza, which is on the outer boundary of the Chatzar, where there once was a Machitza no longer. And Rabbi Eliezer waves the flag of Rabim Shebiru and perhaps Sidei Rishus HaRabim, the status thereof. And the Chacham will hold that no, the Mokom HaMachitza is a Carmelis. For Hami Tocha Ka'amar, let's read the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer says that if a person takes something from a Rishus HaYochid and he's machnis l'tocha shel achotzer, he takes it into it, into her. Her meaning the feminine, the chotzer. It seems that the machlokas here in Amish that's being recorded is about the chotzer itself, the entire chotzer. So Gemara answers, no. Aydi diomar abona mitocha, omar iunami mitocha. Rabbi Eliezer formulates his ruling with the same language that the Chachamim utilized. And that's for symmetrical purposes. That's called aidi. Whenever you see the word aidi, it means a certain kind of symmetry, but it's only a technicality. So the Gemara asks for Rabbanon. What about the Rabbanon? When they speak to Rabbi Eliezer, Omar, they say to him, Rabbi Eliezer, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Umahadjulei Inu Mitocha. You know, Rabbi Eliezer is talking about the status of something that's like Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. And they respond to him, mitocha. Why did the Rabbanan use the word mitocha? In other words, if Rabbi Eliezer concedes that as far as tocha shel chatzer, it's a carmelis, it's not a rishus harabim, so why did the Rabbanan, when they disagree with him, why do they use the word mitocha? Which implies that he, Rabbi Eliezer, was talking about the toch, the inside of the chatzer. The chatzer is certainly private property, it's not a rishus harabim. So the Gemara answers, Hochi kamar le Rabbanan le Rabbi Eliezer. This is what the Rabbanan was saying to Rabbi Eliezer. Mi lo kamodis lan. Shouldn't you at least concede to us hecha de tiltel mi tocha le Rishus HaRabim? In a case where a person who is standing inside the chatzah, bitocha, and he carries something out to Rishus HaRabim, or alternatively, Rishus HaRabim lit tocha into the chatzah patur, you certainly agree to me that the chatzah itself is private property, and therefore it's not a Rishus HaRabim, no way, no how. Mipneshi ki Carmelis. The p'tur is that in the worst case scenario, the Rabbanan can take this chatzer and grade it as a Carmelis and create an Iser Carmelis. But to say that somebody who carries inside and outside is going to be chayev, that's impossible. It's Sidei Nami Loshna. Why don't you say the same thing about Sidei HaChatzer, meaning the Mokom HaKosel, or Sidei Rishus HaRabim according to the second interpretation? So for Rabbi Eliezer, when he responds to them, he says, Hossam, there in the case of the Chatzer, lo kadarsu le Rabbim, the Rabbim have no right to go in there. Hacha, but here in the case where there once was a Mechitza and it's no longer, kadarsu le Rabbim, the Rabbim have established themselves as a Mesila, as a Derech, and Birulam Derech, and they have rights to do so. This leads us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. This Mishnah is going to address the law and the status of a chotzer or a bayis, and we'll see why the Mishnah has to have both a chotzer and a bayis in a case where At the onset of Shabbos, they had full-fledged mechitzos that surrounded the chutz, surrounded the bais, but during the time of Shabbos, during the course of Shabbos, the mechitzos were breached. And the Mishnah is going to talk about a mavui that had a korah and a lechi as a tikkun mana, as a tikkun mavui, and then the korah and the lechi got ruined on Shabbos. Chutzish and ifritol, which is around mishtei ruchotzeha. And the entire focus of our sugi is going to be on those two words, mishtei ruchotzeha. It could have just said chutzish and ifritol. If the walls were breached on Shabbos that surround this chutzah, we have to know what the status of the chutzah is during the course of Shabbos. But for some reason, the Mishnah formulates this as a scenario of shtei ruchotzeha. There was a breach on both walls. So imagine you have a chutzah. Let's call this, closer to me, the south side of the chutzah. Let's talk about the wall that's opposite me, that's closer to the computer, as the north side. So south and north. So we have a breach on both ruchos, on both sides and both mechitzos. V'chein, and also a case of a bayis shenifritz mishtei ruchoseha, similar case in a bayis. V'chein mavu shenitlu koros of a lechoyov, of on Shabbos, the korah that was matu, the taki, and the mavu was removed, the lech. Mutar b'yos Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, for the balance of Shabbos, you're allowed to carry in that chotzer, in that bayis, in that mavui, because at the onset of Shabbos, you were allowed to carry. As far as next Shabbos is concerned, that's a whole new ballgame, a brand new Kiddush Sayom that generates its own Isurim, and you're going to have to be mad to that by reestablishing the chotzer. Rabbi Yossi Omer, I don't understand your logic, Rabbi Yehuda. Imu Torim Liyos Shabbos, if you're going to say that you recognize the kula of the mechitza that existed at the onset of Shabbos to be matir the chutz of the bayis and the mavui, then is mutarm lasid lavo. Then be consistent and be matir tiltil in those places even next Shabbos. V'yim asurim lasid lavo. But you admit to me that next Shabbos it's asur until you reestablish and fix up this mechitza, or two mechitzas, right? Is then the asurim lasid lavo, asurim lasid Shabbos. Even on this Shabbos it should be asur. Okay. So B'li Neder, we'll get back to the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi a little bit later on. Now we're going to focus on the Mishnah of Nifritzah Mishtei Ruchotzeha. But my askinen, what's the case? What kind of pirtza are we dealing with? Be Eser, if it's up to, meaning less than, or equal to Eser Amos, is then Maishno Miruach Achas, the Amrinim Pischohu, if there would have been a breach on only one wall, you would agree that up to Eser Amos of a breach, the Mechitz is still valid, and we consider that breach as a Pesach, then Mishtei Ruchoseh Nami Pischohu, why can't I apply consistently that same definition to both mechitzos, on the south and also on the north? Each one of those two mechitzos has a gigantic Pesach of Eser Amos, but not more than Eser Amos. Is then if it's a Pesach, then who cares about Nifritza? The two mechitzos are still valid mechitzos. So why does the Mishnah prohibit it? Ela, b'yeser, m'yeser. You're going to have to admit by process of elimination that the pirtz is more than Eser Amos, and therefore it's a pirtz and not a Pesach. Ihoch yafil miruach achas nami? Even if on one side, one mechitza was gone, it's gone. He doesn't have a mechitza, and therefore it should be asur. Omar Rav says the olam be'eser. We're talking about a case where the breach is a Pesach. It's not a pirtza. And therefore, for sure, if it only happened on one mechitza, there would be no problem. And now we turn to Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. Kigon shenifritza b'keren zavus. Ah, when the Mishnah says nifritza b'shtei ruchoseh, it doesn't mean the south and the north, but rather it means, let's call it the south and the east, at a 90 degree angle. That's called a keren zavus. And a keren zavus, even if the total pirtza, if you take, let's say, 5 amos of the pirtza on the northern mechitza, and then another 5 amos on the eastern side, so you have total 10 amos. That's called a pirtza. No. I'm sorry, that's called a Pesach. No. It's going to be called a pirtza. Why is it called a pirtza? because Pischa bekeren zavis lo avdi inshi. When you have an opening, a breach in a mechitza, and people could use it, they go through in order to get into the chutz, into the bayis, etc., then you can call it a Pesach. It's only an opening. The mechitza still exists. But in the case of a keren zavis, no one makes a breach in a keren zavis at that corner. And therefore, it's not considered a Pesach. It's considered a piritza. And it undermines the entire mechitza and its status. Now we go to the next case that the Mishnah mentioned. Once again, the Gemara is going to raise the same objections. Maishna miruach achas. What happens if one mechitza of the four mechitzas of a bayis fell down? Now, the bayis has on top of it, as opposed to a chotzer, a tikra, a roof. And the roof allows me to apply what's called the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim of pi tikra yorid v'sosem. I can imagine mechitzas that are coming down from the edge of the roof that go vertical from the edge of the roof. And therefore, the Mishnah is going to tell me that if there was a case of nifritza in one ruach, you'd be allowed to carry it. I mean, the Mishnah only prohibits it when it was nifritza in shtei ruchos, because in one ruchos, in one ruach, we can apply the principle of pi tikri yorid v'sosem. We virtually fill in the missing part of the mechitza through pi tikri yorid v'sosem. Is if that be the case, then mishtei ruchos seha nami lema pi tikri yorid v'sosem. To the same extent that on one mechitza I apply pi tikri yorid v'sosem, I'll apply it on two mechitzas pi tikri yorid v'sosem. So who cares about the piritza? Amri debei Rav mishmei de Rav. So the Talmidim said in the name of Rav, kigon shenifras bekeren zavis. Once again, we're going to talk about a piritza in a keren zavis. Okay, so what? Even if it's a keren zavis, the Gemara is still in trouble here, because I still could apply pi tikra, and I'll apply it twice, once on the south and once on the east. Ah, the Gemara says, V'keiruya balakson. We're talking about, I'll give you an example, Rifaim, right? Not Amik Rifaim, but Rifaim meaning if you have shingles. You have shingles on a roof, then the roof is a slanted roof. And therefore, Lekala Meimar Pitikra Yorid V'Sosem. In a slanted roof, we don't apply the principle of Pitikra Yorid V'Sosem. Pitikra Yorid V'Sosem is like a kind of a 90-degree thing. You know, you got a vertical, and you have a horizontal, and they meet. Then we say, P'tikri yorid v'sosim. But if it's on an angle, so Rashi interprets that if it's on an angle, what happens is that the roof itself extends beyond the mechitza. Do you follow? In other words, if you watch my hands for a second, I have a vertical hand going up and down this way, and I have my inclined hand on top, which represents the roof, and the edge, the final edge, my little fingers here at the edge, the tips of the tikra now go beyond the mechitzas. If they go beyond the mechitzas, then you cannot apply pi tikra yorid v'sosem. Pi tikra yorid v'sosem means that the edge of the mechitza, let's say in a flat horizontal mechitza, reaches and touches the exact top of that vertical mechitza that goes up and hits the tikra. But here it's balakson. And if it's balakson, then the tikra goes beyond the mechitza. And if it goes beyond the mechitza, we can't apply the principle of pi tikra yorid v'sosem. This is Rav's interpretation of our Mishnah. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel has a different interpretation of our Mishnah. And he understands that when it says in our Mishnah, chatzer shenifritza mishtei ruchoseha, afilu b'yeser me'eser. Even if the piritza is wider than eser. Gemara says, wait a minute. If you're going to tell me the piritza is wider than eser, I'm going to come back and ask you the same kasha we asked at the onset. And that is, why is the Mishnah passel this chotzer and the mechitzas thereof? Because of shtei ruchos, even in one ruchos, it's a piritza, it's not a pesach, it's yeser me eser. The Gemara answers, as far as chatz is concerned, the Mishnah didn't have to mention, according to Shmuel, shtei ruchoseha. But mishum bayis. the reason why the Mishnah mentioned Shtei Ruchus Tzeo is not because of Chatzin. Chatzin one Ruach is enough because the Pirtz of more than Eser Amos is going to nullify the Mechitza. But Mishum Bayis. Now we have to ask the question about Bayis. Who Bayis Gufei Tikshi? Let's ask the same objection of Bayis. Maishna Achas, Miruch Achas, if there was only a Pirtz on one side of the house, one Mechitza, then Amrina and I apply the principle of Pitikri over Sosem. Is Mishtei Ruchos Nami name in Pitikri over Sosem? So why, in the case of Bayis, as a result of the fact that there's a Pirtz on two Ruchos, therefore we cannot apply the principle of Pitikri over Sosem? It makes no sense. Visu, and furthermore, how could you tell me that according to Shmuel, we're going to apply the principle of Pitikra Yod Vesosim? Shmuel rejects the principle of Pitikra. So, Mi Isle, Shmuel, Pitikra Yod Vesosim, Itmar. We have Machlokas Amaron about an Achsadra in a Bika. And the Achsadra in this case has no Mechitzos whatsoever. It's just got a ceiling that's being held up by four poles on all sides, but there's no Mechitzos open on all sides. Rav Amar Mutal Talta Bekula. Even though it's in a Bika, which is normally a camel, it's not going to be metal to four amos. But nevertheless, here, since it's got a Tikra, it's not like the rest of the Bika that has no ceiling. It has a ceiling, and we'll apply the principle of P Tikra times four. Shmuel Omer, a metal to boil arba amos. It has the same status as the Bika. It is a camelis up to four amos. But there's no Pitikri Yor V'Sosim, meaning Shmuel rejects the principle of Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. Holokash, the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood Shmuel. No way, no how could Shmuel have rejected the principle of Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. It's Halacha L'Moshe V'Sinai. But Ki Lesle, when does Shmuel disagree? He sets up the bounds of Pitikra, of the application of Pitikra. And that's B. Arba. If you want to set up Pitikra on four sides, there's not even one single Mechitza to talk about. I mean, real mechitza. Is then you cannot apply p'tikra. Avol b'sholosh. Let's say, for example, you had three mechitzas. Rashi interprets even if you had one mechitza, and now you want to apply p'tikra to set up the fourth mechitza, according to Rashi, the other three. Islay, even Shmuel accepts the principle of p'tikra yod v'sosin. Okay, fine. So we now have reconciled Shmuel in his interpretation of our Mishnah with his general statement with regarding to Achsadra, and that is that Shmuel does accept the principle of Pitikri Yod V'Sosin. But now we're left with our first kasha, Mikomakom kasha, our first kasha, in a case of Baisha Nifrats, Miruach Achas, if we're going to apply the principle of Pitikra and Ruach Achas, why shouldn't we apply the principle of Pitikra Yod V'Sosin in Shtei Ruchos? And the Gemara answers, "Kida Amri Bei Rav Mishmei De Rav Kigon Shenifrats BeKeren Zavis." Even Shmuel is going to take the luxury, the license of this Ukimta of Rav. If Rav already introduces an Ukimta of Keren Zavis, Shmuel also is on board for the Ukimta of Keren Zavis. So now the Pirtz is in the Keren Zavis. And if the Pirtz is in the Keren Zavis, then you might ask, well, if that be the case, so let's apply Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. We've proven already and established that even Shmuel accepts Pitikri Yor V'Sosim. And the answer is, Kiruyo Be'alachson. Once again, relying, falling back on Rav Zukimta, the Kiruy, meaning the Tikra itself, was on a slant. So once Rav interpreted the Mishnah in a case of Keren Zavis Balakson and Tikra Balakson, Hachinami here too in the Shita Shmuel, we'll say the Mishnah is talking about Goshen Nifrats by Keren Zavis. Ah, but here, take a look. V'keiruyav b'arba'a. Arba'a means a width of four tefachim. Ah, here's what goes on. If you recall, in the case of Achsadra, Shmuel rejected Pitikra because he wouldn't apply Pitikra on all four sides in an Achsadra that's open completely and has not even one single mechitza. Shmuel is going to now interpret our Mishnah as a case of Nifritza B'Keren Zavis, but here's the bomb, here's the surprise. It's not that two of the mechitzos were damaged, but all four mechitzos were damaged, in a sense. Well, not literally, but figuratively. What I mean to say is that we're going to have to apply P. Tikra times four, which is something that Shmuel cannot tolerate. Now, why in the case of Nifritza B'Keren Zavis would you have to apply P. Tikra four times over? And the answer is Keruyov Ba'arba. What it means is that the Nifritza was not just, as Rav would have it, on the mechitzas themselves. Let's say, for example, you have a corner of a house. So you breached, you know, the southern side of the house and at the same time the eastern side of the house, in the southeast corner. No, it's more than that. The breach was even on the tikra itself. You know, imagine a bomb fell and it hit the ceiling and then it went all the way down to the ground. So the ceiling itself was breached by four tefachim. So now what you have is, in order to set up P. Tikra, the operation thereof, you need four times P. Tikra. Why? Because since you have a four tefachim distance from the Tikra to the Kosel Abayis, the Kosel that once was, you now have to be so same, you have to close up that area. And in order to do that, we're going to have to say P. Tikra Yod V'Sosem. So we now have to imagine a mechitza on the Tikra that extends the Tikra for that four tefachim. Now I need, once I accomplish that, another P. Tikra on each one of the two sides, on the southern and the eastern sides. Shmuel never accepted P. Tikra times four. And the Gemara says, Shmuel lo amar k'Rav. Why didn't Shmuel interpret the Mishnah the way Rav did? Because Alakson lo kentani. He wants to avoid that ukimta of Alakson. Rav lo amar k'Shmuel, because imkein havi le'achsadra v'rav le'tameh, di'om achsadra mutu l'tal t'bekula. Rav has the luxury of applying P. Tikra times four. In fact, he did so in the case of achsadra, which was open on all four sides, and nevertheless he activated P. Tikra times four. If that be the case, then Shmuel's ukimta, where Keruyov B'Arba, where even the Keru itself, the Tikra itself, was bashed in and breached by four Tfachu, Rav has no problem of applying P. Tikra times four. So he couldn't interpret the Mishnah as that case. And therefore he had to assume that we're talking about a lock zone, and that's why we don't apply the principle of P. Tikra. The Itmar, now the Gemara again revisits the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and Achsadra. Achsadra, v'bikar, Rav ha'ma mutal tal t'bekul, Shmuel ha'ma ein mutal t'bekul arba amas. Rav ha'ma mutal tal t'bekul, damrinan, pi tikra yod v'sosem, on all four mechitzos, u Shmuel ha'ma ein mutal t'bekul arba amas, lo amrinan, pi tikra yod v'sosem, on four mechitzos. The Gemara now is going to establish that the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and Achsadra only applies in a certain case. And the Gemara now is going to vacillate exactly what the parameters of the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel are in the case of Achsadra. The first Lishna says, "Be eser kuliamalo pligi." If the pirtza is up to, and but not more than 10 amos wide, then in such a case, according to this particular Lishna, the Gemara is going to offer a second Lishna, but this first Lishna says that even Shmuel will apply P. Tikra Yored V'Sosem. Hakol Mod, everybody agrees that P. Tikra Yored V'Sosem, even though according to this particular approach, we're going to have to apply P. Tikra on four mechitzos. Again, this has to be reconciled with the previous sugya, and therefore Tosus di Ramaskal be'eser has to reinterpret the sugya. That's more for an Ian Shia. However, ki pligi, if we're saying that up to eser amos of a pirtza, everybody, even Shmuel, agrees that we apply P. Tikra, is where is the machlokes? Be pirtza yeser me'eser. According to this particular Lishna, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel only applies when the pirtz is more than eser amos. And here Rav has a unique shita that even though the machitza is completely gone, al pidin, meaning your pirtza is a pirtza, it's not a Pesach. So there's no machitza. Nevertheless, Rav is going to still activate and apply the principle of pitikra yoiv sosem to substitute it for a machitza, but Shmuel says no, we cannot do so. Ika diamri, so that was the first lishna. B'yeser kuliyamalo pligi. In a case where the pirtz is more than eser amos and the machitza therefore is virtually gone, even Rav would agree that we cannot apply pitikra yoiv sosem. Ki pligi, where does Rav argue against Shmuel and apply the principle of pitikra yoiv sosem? See, that's b'yeser. That's only in a case where the pirtza was less than or up to eser amos, and therefore it's not considered a pirtza, but rather a Pesach. And Rav says, once you have a Pesach, we can apply the principle of pitikra. Shmuel says, no, you're not allowed to be metaltal there because we will not apply the principle of pitikra yored visose. So what I suggest, if you have another 5 minutes, then let's get a jump start on Daf Tzadi Heyomid Aleph. And that'll make it a little bit easier for us tomorrow. And who knows, it might even allow us to somehow fit in the Daf of Shabbos somewhere along the line. I don't know. But I don't want to have my hopes too high. The Gemara asks, V'hadi Amar Rav Yehuda, now we're turning to Daf Tzadi Heyomid Aleph, Kora, Arba Tfachim, Matir B'churva. Imagine, you have a churva that's basically open on all sides into a Rishus HaRabim. You're not allowed to carry there. And inside the churva, you have a korah on top of the churva as you enter in, which has 4 tefachim. It's 4 tefachim wide. And we can now apply the principle of Pitikra Yod Vesosis or of Yudah, and allow you to carry under the korah. What I mean to say is that the korah has 4 edges. And on each one of those 4 edges of this rectangle, we're going to apply pitikra. So that if you're standing under the korah, you are absolutely surrounded by 4 machitzos. And Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabba Baravu, extends this even further. And he says, korah arba matim b'mayim. Imagine, mayim is considered a karmelis. But if there's a korah above that place where you're in the mayim, then you're allowed to carry underneath that korah as if it were a separate rishus. It's not part of the karmelis because it has arba tefachim, and we're going to apply the principle of pitikra yored v'sosin. Mani, whose shita amongst the amoraim that we had before is Rabbi Yehuda reflecting? Is it Rav or Shmuel? Where it says the following, it depends upon the 2 lishonos of Rav and Shmuel. Lahach lishna di'amrit, according to 1 lishna that holds, that if you have a pirtza that is b'eser, that is 10 tefachim but not more wide, lo pligi, in other words, everybody agrees that you apply pitikra yoiv sosem, is then we can explain Rav Yehuda and Rav Bar Avo that we just learned in the case of a korah, b'eser, the korah has a length of 10 amos, and therefore it's considered a Pesach. And then we could say that Divrei HaKol, both Rav and Shmuel would say in this case, that since it's not more than Eser Amos, we apply the principle of Pitikra Yoiv Sosem, and you could therefore carry below the Korah. But Lahach Lishna D'Amit, according to that Lishna that says that the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is B'Eser Pligi, they're arguing in a case where you have a Rochav of less than or equal to Eser Amos, And therefore, according to this Lishna, Shmuel, even in the case where there's no pirtza of Eser Amos, nevertheless, of more than Eser Amos, nevertheless, Shmuel insists that we don't apply the principle of Arba, of Pitikra Yoiv Sosem Arba Tzdadim on all 4 sides. Then, in the case of the Korah of Rav Yehuda and Rabba, we are applying Pitikra 4 times over. I mean, all you have is a Korah, and on each one of the edges of the Korah, here, there, and there, we're going to apply the principle of Pitikra. That's against Shmuel, it's Kirav. Then we can only justify the ruling of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba if we reconcile that with Rav. And that brings us to Lema Abai Varama Biplukta Diravu Shmuel Kamifli. So this Amir Hashem is where we're going to stop and pick it up tomorrow. Let's just make a note. We got up to Daf Sadi Hey Omid Aleph. We're about to finish Amir Hashem, the ninth Perek, and start the last Perek of Erevin. And we're up to Lema, which would be 5 lines down from the top of Tzadi Hei Omen Al. Okay then?